What is the purpose of the Christian life? What has Jesus saved us for? As believers, are we simply biding our time on this earth until we get to heaven? Or could there be a higher calling on our lives? A kingdom calling? We believe there is. Indeed, Jesus has called his followers to a meaningful purpose and mission for this life. It's a life-changing, global perspective that has been entrusted to all Christians. In this series, we'll take a closer look at what that could mean for each one of us. Join us for the Kingdom Calling.
Hello, church. Hello. Thanks for joining us this weekend. My name is Josh Whitney. I'm one of the pastors. We are finishing up our Kingdom Calling series, and next week we're starting a study of 2 Peter. So in this Kingdom Calling series, we've been answering the question, what is the purpose of the Christian life? As believers, do we simply bide our time until we go to heaven? No. As believers, there is a higher calling. There's a kingdom calling on our life. So part one, Brian taught us that we are blessed by God to bless others. And then part two, Caleb talked about how God's glory should be what motivates us. Part three, Bill talked all about God's kingdom. Part four, Mac talked about how to live as a witness. And then last week, Billy taught part five. He talked about how we should build bridges to people of other cultures to share the gospel in a relatable way. Five excellent messages. If you missed any of them, catch up online. So now for part six, we're talking about our plan, join the mission. And our plan is God's plan, and we're going to get into it. As multiple pastors have mentioned, the origin of this series was a 15-week class most of the pastors took in November, December, and January. There are hundreds of pages of reading, dozens of teachings by missionaries and mission directors on all these topics. And we are thinking about doing a perspectives class at our church next year. We'll keep you updated on that. I found the perspectives class very encouraging and challenging to see God's heart for the nation, to learn her church history. And then there were all of these amazing God stories. Church, you need to know this. God is on the move. God is moving in a powerful way around the planet, and we get to be part of the action. And the perspectives class reminded me that God is on the move. You see, God is all about seeking and saving the lost. That's his heart, his mission, therefore our mission. In Mark 1:16, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. So when Jesus called Simon and Andrew, he told them, "You're going to be fishers of men." Any follower of Jesus Christ is a fisher of men. But to be honest with you, I've been pretty tempted to get off mission the last 12 to 16 months. Politics, social unrest, masks, vaccines, riots, shutdown, reopening, important topics for us to be informed on, to be aware of. But this past year, especially a year ago, when we're all alone in our house and we're reading the news and watching videos and reading things, all of those things start to dominate my thinking. Those become my mission, not God's mission. How about you? Have you gotten off mission? Do you know what happens to Christians when they get off mission? An author wrote a story once. He said, "When I was in high school, we would go on this fishing trip over spring break. But one year, my brother and my mom couldn't go, so my dad said I could invite my friend, so I brought my friend Mark. And we got permission from his parents, and we began to plan, and we waited and waited, and eventually the day came. We loaded our camper, we went to the lake, we arrived that night, we set up our camper, and we went to bed. But during the night, an unseasonably strong storm blew in. It got cold. The wind was so strong, we could barely open the camper door. The next morning, the sky was gray. The lake was covered with white top waves. There was no way we could fish. That's okay. We'll stay in the camper. We'll play Monopoly. We'll read these magazines. We'll tell some jokes. It's not what we came to do. We'll make the best of it, and we'll fish tomorrow." Well, that day we passed playing Monopoly, reading magazines. The hours passed slowly, but they did pass. We went to bed, and we dreamed of fishing. But were we in for a surprise the next morning? The next morning, we couldn't open the camper, not because of the wind, because the door had iced over. try to be cheerful, like, well, I guess we could play our games again and read those magazines again, and surely you know another joke or two. As courageous as we tried to be, some of the gray had moved into our camper. I noticed a few things I hadn't seen before. I noticed my friend Mark had a few personality flaws. He was a little cocky about his opinions. He was easily irritated. He was constantly edgy. He couldn't take constructive criticism. Then I began to see my dad in a new light. I mentioned to him the eggs were soggy, and he said, well, why don't you try cooking the eggs? Touchy, I said to myself. How did such a touchy man produce such an even-keeled son? Nothing like being stuck in a camper to see someone's true nature. It was a long day, a long, cold night. The next day, it was even colder. We're going home, were my dad's first words, and nobody objected. I learned a hard lesson that week. This is how the author concludes. When those who are called to fish don't fish, they fight. When energy intended to be used outside is used inside, the result is explosive. Instead of casting nets, we cast stones. Instead of extending helping hands, we point accusing fingers. Instead of being fishers of the lost, we become critics of the saved. Ouch. Kind of summarizes my thinking over the last year. At home, away from people, off mission, reading stuff, watching stuff, listening to videos, not fishing for men like Jesus talked about here in Mark chapter 1. How much of our conflict and angst and tension the past 12 to 16 months is because we've gotten off mission? Everybody has a mission. Everybody has a cause. Everybody has an opinion on what we should devote our life to, but it's clear that Jesus has a mission for us. God is on the move, and he wants us to join him in his mission. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And so your first blank on your handout, are we pursuing what is on God's heart? Or have we gotten off mission? That's why I think the Perspectives class is one of the most refreshing things I've done in a number of years, to be reminded of our mission and then to see how God's moving globally. And as your pastors, we wanted to give you a taste of the Perspectives class in this series. So Jesus called us, his disciples, his followers, to be fishers of men. That's our calling. That's what we've talked about for the last 5 weeks. Now we're talking about our plan, which is God's plan, join the mission. What is the mission? Right before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said so famously in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So in this verse, we see God's mission, God's plan, and the disciples had all these ups and downs for 3 years, but finally, they get it. They're like, I see it. I see what God's plan is. I see what the mission is, and they start to live out the Great Commission. Do you see the plan? Disciples or followers of Jesus make new disciples. And those new disciples make new disciples. And those new disciples make new disciples. Therefore, your second blank, the Great Commission is self-replicating. It starts out small, but it grows. It's viral. It multiplies. It expands quickly. Look how much it's grown. Look at Acts chapter 1. This is the first church meeting after Jesus ascended, Acts 1:15. In those days, Peter stood among the brothers. A company of persons was in all about 120. So Jesus ascends to heaven. First church meeting, there's 120 people. That was about 33 AD. So I made this handy little chart for you. And Scrib made it look cooler. So well done. 33 AD, there were 120 Christians. The world's population was 200 million people. That means that Christians represented 0.0001% of the population. Fast forward 1,988 years to today, there are 2.4 billion Christians on the planet. The world's population is 7.8 billion people, making Christianity the number one religion at 31% of the population. Only God knows everybody's heart, but there are 2.4 billion people on the planet now who claim Christ. How did we go from 120 to 2.4 billion? What is the secret of this growth? It's all on the foundation. In Matthew 16, Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he says, who do people think I am? Matthew 16:15, Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," that means son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So was Peter the rock? Was Peter the foundation? No. Jesus is the rock. It's the truth that Peter shared. Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And so this is what a church is all about. This is the foundation. Your third blank, a church is a called out community of people who follow Jesus Christ. And that's the foundation of all this meteoric growth that lasts 1,988 years. And this statement by Jesus in Mark 16 gives me an ironclad confidence in God's plan for his church. God is on the move, and nothing is going to stop him. Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." A couple years ago, my wife and I did the whole flip your strip, park strip program thing. On the left there, we cut out all of our grass. We planted all these low water baby plants. And I was that guy. I had to like put up this fence around my little baby plants, and I'd be out there with the neighbor kids walking by. I'd be like, "Stay out of my baby. They're baby. Don't step on my baby plants." But year by year by year, we're on like our second, third year now, the plants are taking over. It's harder for those punk kids to walk through my park strip. But you need to know this. Over the last 2 years, a huge chunk of the plants have died or been stepped on. But we keep planting them and watering them, and they keep growing. How much is that like God's universal church? Individual churches and denominations and movements grow and die. New churches are planted, churches die, denominations are doing stuff for the Lord, and then they peter out. But you step back and you go, whoa, year after year, God is on the move. God's church is advancing all over the planet. And again, what is the process that Jesus has used? Look at this verse in 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Do you see the four generations in that verse? Paul taught Timothy, who's going to teach faithful men who are going to teach others. Four generations. That's the plan. Jesus started the relay, and the relay has been traveling all the way to us. So your fourth blank, making disciples of Jesus is a relay race. We're less than 2 weeks from the Olympics. My family and I, we love to watch the Olympics every 2 to 3 years, depending on what happens. One of the more exciting events is the relay race. It's this amazing example of athletic ability, but it's also about teamwork. We're going to watch 1 minute of a relay race. It's going to get all ready for the Olympics. And notice how the baton is passed from one runner to the next. If you want to play that video.
Boston 6, China 7, USA on the outside in lane 8. Well, the baton changes can make all the difference. You can win just by maintaining that speed of the baton, even if your athletes aren't the greatest quartet. Safe changeovers there by everybody, it looks like, although Jamaica had a bit of a mare, and their second leg athletes, Carter, going way out into lane 2 as he picked up the baton. Very safe, not a great changeover from the USA there. Possibly going best of all at the moment, South Africa in five, and Germany looking fabulous in 3. Germany with good changeovers with their last leg man. Menga here, carry it home well, and will it be chased down? They're coming at him, and here comes the American Burrell on the outside. USA are going to take it by a meter from Jamaica, I think, just out tipping the South Africans. It was a tall order for Ricardo Adams of South Africa to hang on to that lead. It was a healthy lead, maybe a couple of meters when he took over on that ankle leg, but surely it was too much to ask to expect him to hold on.
Do you notice how fast they ran that? It was 38 seconds. They're moving at 23 mile an hour. And they're moving that fast, and they're successfully passing a baton from one person to the next at that high rate of speed. Paul passed the baton to Timothy. He's going to pass it to faithful men. He's going to pass it to others. And that relay race has been running for 1,988 years from Jesus to his disciples, from one Christian to the next, down through the centuries, all the way to me and to you. We're part of the relay race. God is on the move. In the perspectives class, they told us this stat, which is just an incredible stat. There are 165,000 decisions made for Jesus every day. That's the population of Sandy and Draper combined that have chosen to follow Christ every day. 165,000 decisions. God is on the move. That's 60 million people that will choose to follow Christ this year. Since I started preaching this message, 1,500 people have made a decision to follow Christ. And again, one of the most encouraging parts of this class for me were all of these God stories, these missionaries and mission directors taught us how God's moving in different races and people groups and movements of God all around the planet. Over the last few months, when people be like, what did you learn in the class? I was like, I learned a lot, but the best part were all the God stories. There is a story that God is writing that is not on your phone. There is a story of what God is doing on this planet that's not in Twitter, it's not in social media, it's not in your news feed. There is a story where God is moving around this planet. It's a relay race. It's one Christian teaching the things of God to the next Christian who teaches it to the next Christian, and this relay race has been moving through history for the last 1,988 years. So I want to make it a little more personal. How has this relay race entered the Rock Church? So the Rock Church here in Draper, Utah, is part of a small alliance of churches called the M28, which is based on Matthew 28. There's about a dozen churches scattered mainly in the southwest part of our country. The M28 Alliance, its roots are in the Great Commission churches, which started in the 70s. The Great Commission church roots go back to Campus Crusade and Plymouth Brethren. So back in the 70s, there was some young people in their 20s that decided to get a school bus, and this is not the actual bus, I just Googled random old buses, and this popped up. They got a bus, they got on the bus, and they drove around the country, they'd roll into a campus, they'd play some hippie Jesus songs, they'd tell people about Jesus, and a bunch of people got saved. And God used it, because God is always on the move. Here's an old black and white photo of some of the early pastors of this movement of God. These are a group of people that decided to join God and his work, and decades later, the kingdom of God has expanded a little more. There's some epic mustaches in this photo, but we do not have time to linger. Well, that guy right there, that's my dad, and the mustache and glasses right there. So fast forward 50 years to this day, and there are churches all around the United States, all around Latin America, and some in Europe that all trace their spiritual roots to this movement of God. When we do a mission trip to Honduras or Europe, we're linking up with some of these sister churches. And obviously, the story is super personal for me because two of those hippies that got saved were my parents. They were there in Ames, Iowa, lost Dayton hippies and drinking beer and long hair, and Jesus saved them. They heard the gospel. They became believers. They got saved. They got married. I was born a few years later. My dad became a pastor, and he moved to Florida to plant a church. Here's a chart that kind of gives you an idea of how the church has moved out of Iowa. This is incomplete. This is kind of Josh's childhood. Because my parents were in Iowa, and then they moved to Florida, and then they moved to Maryland, and then they moved to Minnesota, and then they moved to Colorado to work with churches. Here's an old photo of the church plant team, the early church back in Florida. And that guy sitting up there on his dad's shoulders right there, that's moi. Just a kid. And here's two more pictures from that. The one on the left is my dad and some other guy preaching on the campus there in Florida. And that's me on the right helping with worship, bongo drums. Pastor Ben, where's the love? You have my number. Let me make this chart personal for you. So the church in Ames plants over to the left there, the church in Fort Collins, which plants a church in Loveland. The arrow is wrong. It should go up to Sandy, which became Draper. God's on the move. The relay race just keeps getting passed from one Christian to the next. Here's a picture of the team that moved from Colorado to Utah 21 years ago. Things were a little more pixelated back then, but you get the gist. The relay race keeps moving. By my count, there are 30 people that have prayed to receive Christ in our church in the last 6 months here. There are a lot of new people coming week to week to our church. Over the last 21 years, there's been hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have been gotten saved and been discipled. God is on the move. The relay keeps getting passed from one person to the next. And like I said, The Rock, we're part of the M28 Alliance, God's ever-expanding kingdom. 2 weeks ago, we had a youth conference that I led. There were 180 high schoolers and their parents in Wyoming from 11 of our churches. We're passing the baton to the next generation. Bunch of high schoolers learning about Jesus. 32 people from our church were able to go to this conference. And I want to thank you for your generosity. Remember a couple months ago we did the Easter bake sale? Remember when you paid like $50 for a plate of cookies? You guys raised $4,000, which is awesome. Well, because of your generosity, it would have cost people $150 plus $50 gas. It would have been $200. Because of your generosity, both in the bake sale and throughout the year, everybody from our church went for $50, which is awesome. So God is using you by being generous to pass the baton. So to recap, we're in this room right now because in 33 AD, a group of Christ followers decided to leave their homes in Israel and spend the rest of their life expanding God's kingdom through Europe, through the Roman Empire. It jumped the Atlantic Ocean, started moving through America because God's on the move. Jesus is building his church. The relay race is being passed from one person to the next. God's church expanded through different denominations and movements, including the Plymouth Brethren and Campus Crusade and the Great Commission churches. Hippies got on buses and they told people about Jesus and they got saved in Iowa and they moved to Colorado and they moved to Utah. And now here we are. And God has worked through Provo and he's worked through Taylorsville and he's worked through Salt Lake. And then we all converged here in Draper. So for 1,988 years after Jesus started his church, his kingdom is forcefully advancing right now because God is on the move. So in my remaining time, I want to discuss two simple application points. Jesus is moving in this amazing, powerful way all around the planet. People are being reached through church plants. They're being reached through conversations, friends giving out gospel tracts, through internet, social media, Zoom even. The Lord's using that to save people, apps. God is reaching people through dreams and visions. Some of the missionaries from the Middle East told some amazing stories of God moving in the Middle East through dreams and visions. And someday, every one of us is going to be with Jesus, and we're going to see how he moved in a powerful way in our family, in our neighborhood, at our job, in our church, at our school. It's this relay race that's been going on for 1,988 years, and we get to be part of it. The Apostle Paul was motivated by this. Look at his words in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's really good. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant of all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. He continues, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul had this heart to join God on his mission. He said, I've made myself a servant of everybody to win more to Christ. When I took the perspectives class, I was just struck by the beauty and the simplicity of God's plan. Keep it simple, stupid. Kiss. They had this amazing illustration of elephants and rabbits. An elephant, a daddy and mommy elephant, get together, and the mom elephant is pregnant for 2 years, a 2-year gestation roughly. And then she will nurse the baby elephant for about a year, And that baby elephant takes a decade to reach reproductive maturity. So then that mommy elephant could have another baby 2 years later, and then another year of nursing. And then, so basically, in 7 years, a mom elephant, a female elephant, could have 2 to 3 baby elephants. That's growth by addition. That's one every couple years. Let's talk about rabbits. How long is a rabbit pregnant? A month. How big is the average litter size? It's about 6 rabbits. Those rabbits reach reproductive maturity in 6 months. If you start doing the math, one mom rabbit could have 72 baby rabbits a year, and all those baby rabbits start reproducing 6 months later. You start multiplying that math, and it just takes off. In 7 years, it's 184 billion rabbits. That's theoretically speaking. If you don't believe my math, I dare you to email me. God's plan to reach the world reproduces easily. That's your next blank. In other words, God's plan to reach the world through the Great Commission, the relay race, it's more like a rabbit than an elephant. So in the perspectives class, we discuss both individually and corporately, how am I making this like an elephant when it should be like a rabbit? It reminded me of Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, to become all things to all people that I might win some. We don't have to overthink it. God's plan to reach the world is super simple. Love people, open your mouth, pray for them, and talk about Jesus. Here's some ideas to join God in his mission this week. Meet a new person after church. Invite your neighbor over for dinner. Talk about Jesus at work. Read your Bible at school. Invite a friend to church. Pass out a church invite or a gospel tract. Repost a church promo video or a sermon series. Text a verse to a friend. Pray for someone who tells you they're hurting and tell them you're praying for them. Pray for the salvation of the lost people. You know, have a list of people that you are praying for. Coworkers, friends, family, classmates. Share the gospel with a coworker, a classmate. Tell somebody how Jesus has changed you. God's plan to reach the world, it's more like a rabbit than an elephant. Don't overthink it. Lord, how could I step out in faith and join you? Because God's on the move. We don't need to overthink it. I don't need to think like an elephant, think like a rabbit. Here's how an elephant thinks, though. They go, well, after I've known him for a couple years, I'm going to mention I'm a Christian. And then a couple years, if we're still friends, I'm going to tell him I went to church this weekend. And then a couple years after that, I might mention I'm praying for them. And if things go really well, a couple years after that, I might even invite them to church. Here's how a rabbit thinks. We should have my neighbor over for dinner. And we should say, do you mind if we pray? And then ask them a bunch of questions, and hopefully they ask you a few questions, and you can talk about Jesus. Show up to church 15 minutes early. I know. You're like, I'm not a fanatic. I know. There's new people that show up early. Meet them. Talk to them. Go grab a meal with them. Share the gospel with them. Maybe after church, go, I cannot be here early. All right, after church, meet somebody new. Go out to eat with them. Buy their meal. Ask them about their life. Here's an easy one. You and your friend go out to eat. Don't talk to anybody else. But as you leave, leave a big tip and a gospel track in your bill. You go on a plane before everybody pops their headphones in their ear holes. Talk to them. Ask them a few questions. See if God opens a door and you can have a spiritual conversation. It's rabbits, not elephants, like Billy said last week. And then let the Holy Spirit do its work. Just plant and water. Plant and water and see where God is moving, because God's moving everywhere. The story of God is happening right in front of us. Join them. My second application point. The end of the Corinthians passage, it talks about the cost. Paul says, I discipline my body. He says, I live for eternity. And then he talks about not being disqualified. So for 1,988 years, the followers of Jesus have passed the baton from one Christian to the next. It arrives in your hands. You're like, oh, I dropped it. No. We go, Lord, who can I pass this baton on to? Lord, you're moving all around me. How can I pass your truth on to the next person? These verses, though, in Corinthians show us our final fill in the blank. There is a cost for every good plan. Paul talks about sacrifice and discipline and living for eternity and not being disqualified or DQ'd. People break your heart. Sometimes you have to say goodbye to friends to go do something new for the Lord. Sometimes sin grieves you in other people's lives. Being involved in God's plan takes your time, your money, your energy, your blood, your sweat, your tears. The Bible doesn't just talk about the Christian life as a race. It talks about it as a war. So my final illustration here, there was a boat before and during World War II called the Queen Mary. It was a passenger vessel before World War II. You could rent these amazing staterooms on the left, and it would haul 3,000 passengers back and forth across the Atlantic. It hauled celebrities and royalty and dignitaries. But when World War II broke out, it changed everything. This ship that normally held 3,000 passengers was retrofitted to haul 16,000 soldiers across the Atlantic Ocean. Rooms that held two, they ripped out all the amenities, all the luxuries, and they just packed it full of bunk beds. They called it the Gray Ghost. They painted the ship black. They stripped out all the amenities. And again, it was the fastest, largest troop ship out there, hauling 16,000 soldiers to the war. Imagine one of the soldiers sitting on the deck and like people are shooting and the war's happening and they're like, I'm sunbathing. Can you guys calm down? No, the whole world, the Allied powers mobilized on a global scale to fight this great evil, the Axis powers. We are engaged as Christians in an even greater conflict, the battle for men's and women's souls. The battle of spiritual forces and God's forces, evil and good. Are we ready to sacrifice to join our God on the move? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you love people. You want to see heaven filled up with as many people as possible. And you have chosen, because it's your plan, to use us. Lord, I want to be a man that passes the baton the rest of my life. And I know, I see that in people's faces here in the room. That is their heart as well. Lord, it has been a year to get distracted from our mission, Lord. Help us to have your heart be our heartbeat. And God, I thank you that it's so simple. It's like rabbits. It self-replicates. God, I thank you that you said the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. God, we want to be people that pass the baton to the next Christian. Help us to do that the rest of our lives. And God, it is a painful, hard thing to serve you. I pray that we would be stout-hearted. You would empower us by your grace to serve you all the days of our life. Lord, if there is anyone here that has not gotten the good news of the gospel, I pray that they would go talk to the Connections booth. Come talk to me. Talk to one of the pastors. They would get saved tonight. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.